Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two.
One. Good afternoon. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, radio podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Kelly Mano here with my co-host Hoss.
Hello.
And producer Stephanie.
Hi.
And I have the worst luck ever because my mom, we're trying to get my mom her first ever iPhone. So she's coming from like a flip phone. And so she's got the new iPhone and she's at the AT&T store right now trying to get it switched over. And she just texted me. Well, she texted me and she said, they won't let me change the phone because I'm not an authorized user. What should I tell them? And I said, tell him he's a damn idiot.
Did she pay the bill?
What? No, we do.
Oh, okay.
I said, tell him he's a damn idiot. And like 10 minutes later, I got a text saying, you just did. He was holding the phone when you sent that.
That's awesome.
But I mean, it's so dumb. I mean, she's on our account. You would think that, I mean, she's just switching from one phone to the other.
Yeah.
So they have her down as like she's a kid, like she's an end user. But since she's not on the account, they won't let her make changes.
She might as well be. My mom is the most talented texter in the world. Not only can she send me blank text messages on a regular basis, which I don't even know how she does this.
Space.
Well, The best, here's the kicker. She can send me upside down pictures. I didn't even think you could take an upside down picture.
We should have a contest between your mom and my dad to see who can F up a cell phone more.
It is beyond, you know, and then she's the queen of the butt dial and she's got daycare in her house. So
hopefully that'll be better now that she has an iPhone.
I don't know. I got her a wallet case like that closes.
Oh, yeah.
So because she'll butt dial me at like any time of day. And you know, I hear like, stop licking the doorknob. You know, cause she's got all the daycare kids.
So amazing.
Yeah. So how was everybody's weekend?
Good. Well, good. I mean, mine personally was good. Sad news yesterday. But
Yes.
Lost a legend.
Man, I mean, that's an understatement. Damn.
Well, and so, you know, I'm an Elvis girl. I'm an Elvis fan. So I was not a big Chuck Berry fan, but I know enough to know that Elvis is the king of rock and roll. So what is Chuck?
He's the godfather. I think everybody's saying like he's the godfather.
Without Chuck, there is no rock and roll.
And I will say it was pretty cool to have somebody that big living so close to us.
I agree. Yeah. And I mean, look, there's people who will think this is blasphemous, but I would make the argument that if it wasn't for the social climate of the day and era that Elvis and Chuck Berry were around, that Chuck Berry would be every bit as big as Elvis, if not bigger.
Yeah,
if Chuck Berry was white.
Well, and nobody tells. So, you know, St. Louis loves Chuck Berry, but I have kind of an inside track to all this, and he was going to be on the show today. But he got sick, and, you know, when men get sick, they get the man flu, and he doesn't have a very good voice. But so my friend Denny Turlin, who I know from some photography work I've done, he's lived literally across the street from Chuck Berry for the last 5 years.
Wow.
My mom grew up down the street from him. Like, literally, and their dog would go through Chuck's yard.
Well, the stories that Denny has, like, I will be reading these stories to my husband at night, like, crying. I'm laughing so hard. And so I went back through, because he's got pictures and all this stuff. So, so Denny, like, I'll tell you a couple of stories of what it was like to live.
I've got one good one.
Yeah. So one of them was, you know, apparently Chuck had this very well-known, you know, black car in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one day Denny was outside working in the yard and up pulls Chuck Berry. And this was just within the last couple of years. And he says, he rolls down the window and says, your house is on fire, man. Your house is on fire. And Denny turned around. They both looked at the house. No smoke, no fire. And then Chuck Berry proceeds to tell Denny to get in his car. And it's Chuck Berry, so
yeah, you're not going to say no to that.
Chuck Berry tells you to get in the car, you get in the car. So he proceeds to get in the car and says he's going to show him that his house is on fire. Now, remember, they're both standing like 15 feet from his house, so they can clearly see that his house is not on fire. So he gets in Chuck's car. He slams on the gas like a rocket. He's got a really long driveway, so when he gets to the end of the driveway, he locks up the brakes and nearly sent Denny into the windshield. He didn't have a seatbelt on. He told me it was not. Yeah, he told me it wasn't going to be a long ride. And then he told me to look over there, which was nowhere near my house, and I saw a small pile of burning brush. And then he told me everything's going to be okay, not to be alarmed.
That's amazing.
And then he said, I got somewhere to go. You got to get out.
Sounds like Chuck.
And then I've got one more that I really, really loved that, you know, because I'll show you the pictures with this as well. He was actually coming home one night, coming down the road, and it said, Chuck Berry strikes again. On my way home yesterday, I see the infamous black car down in a ditch.
Oh,
and his car was stuck in the fence. He was standing outside his car waving his hand, so I drive and roll down my window and say, are you okay, Mr. Berry? And then he proceeds to tell me in a pretty stern voice, yes, I'm okay, but someone ran a car into my fence. And I said to him, I think that's your car. And he said, no, I just parked here to see who ran into the fence, and then I ran into the fence.
That's awesome.
Okay, Mr. Berry, I will find out who, and I will let him know. So then he pushed him out of the ditch.
Always wearing the hat.
Off they went.
Always wearing the hat.
Yeah, I love the hat.
So
my Chuck story is it was a fairly well known fact that due to how he grew up as a musician, obviously the era he was in, he got taken advantage of quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Didn't get credited for songwriting. Played multiple shows where he was promised he would get paid at the end of the show and then never did.
Ooh.
Because of his skin color. Because that was the social era. Like, they just took advantage of the black musicians. So it was widely known that later on in life, Chuck was a cash in advance of show guy.
Oh, cool.
Like, you didn't pay him, he didn't go on stage.
Show me the money.
So the story is that he was booked to play a private party somewhere in Europe, like London or Paris or something. Takes a private jet across the ocean, lands, gets off the plane. He's walking across the tarmac. The guy who's hired him meets him there. Mr. Berry, it's great to have you here. We'll take you to the hotel, blah, 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 blah. Chuck goes, you got my check? And the guy goes, Mr. Berry, I don't have it on me, but, you know, please rest assured. We'll take care of you once the show's done. No check, no Chuck. Turns around, gets back on the plane, flies home.
Wow. No check, no Chuck. Oh, I wish.
But I mean, and you can't blame him for being like that.
No.
Years and years and years of getting taken advantage of. It was like, you pay me now or you don't get Chuck.
Hey, it's just like the escort we interviewed on the show.
Yeah.
It is business before pleasure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you meet up,
any of you two ever get to see him play?
I didn't, no. Mm-hmm.
I saw him about 8 years ago at the pageant, and the whole band at this point was basically just his family, his kids, grandkids, nephews, whatever. What was hysterical was he was so old that he would start playing Maybelline and it would just turn into My Ding-a-Ling or something else.
On purpose?
No.
Or in a cool way.
On mid-song. He would just like, he would get done singing one verse and sing the chorus. And then, you know, there'd be the little interlude. He'd come back, and it's a different song.
Different song.
And his family was like, oh, here we go. Different song. And just keep pace with it.
Oh, his poor band.
He's like his own DJ in his head, you know.
I'll tell you what. I want to find out when that service is. Because if you think Stan Musial's funeral in St. Louis was a big deal with a lot of dignitaries, you ain't seen nothing until you see the amount of rock and roll royalty that shows up in this city for Chuck Berry's funeral.
Oh, I bet.
I will guarantee you all of the Rolling Stones will be here. Eric Clapton will be here. It is going to be Elton John will be here. It's going to be a who's who of rock and roll.
Well, then why have I not been hired yet by like a national magazine to sit out there with my 70 to 200 lens? And seriously, I'm going to go paparazzi. Be paparazzi.
You,
I mean, I'll do it from a respectful distance.
Yeah.
I'm not a total Hoosier.
There's going to be a massive influx of like gigantic names. McCartney will be here for damn sure.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, my husband
like,
will be
stalking
him.
If you listen to old interviews with McCartney and Lennon, they talk about Chuck Berry's influence.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones, Elton John.
Oh, yeah, you see quotes flying around about
all of those.
All weekend.
All of those guys will be here because that is how important Chuck Berry is to rock and roll.
Well, I'm going to go play photojournalist that day then. It's yeah. not it's not very often that I, you know, all the photos I take, I'm hired to take.
Right.
It's not very often that I can kind of be a fly on the wall or a fly across the street and do like more photojournalistic work.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows? Maybe I'll try to get some shots of Mr. McCartney. But to me, I mean, Chuck Berry's passing, sure, it's sad, but I mean, he died a 90-year-old man, probably, I don't know, at home. Like,
he
that's the way to go.
Life.
That's
Absolutely.
The way to yeah. go. There's nothing tragic about it,
no.
yeah.
you know, other than we're going to miss him. So, yeah, rest in peace, Chuck Berry. Thanks for, you know, I wonder if Nelly will go to his funeral.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if his cousin Marvin.
Marvin Berry.
I wonder if he'll be there.
All right.
I wonder if Marty and Doc will be there.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Show. Hey, Cam Jansen is here, and we are going to talk to him in a bit. We got lots more to do on this show, so stick around. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show. But if you don't, here's your membership. Get out with LPP. Yeah, you know me. Get out with LPP. Yeah, you know me. Get out with LPP. Yeah, you know me. Who's down with LPP? Every line's on me. Get out with LPP. Yeah, you know me. Get out with LPP. Yeah, you know me. Get out with LPP. Yeah, you know me. Who's down with LPP? All for the ladies. OPP means something gifted. The first letter the same, but the last is something different. It's the longest, loveliest, lean. I call it the leanest. It's enough.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Looking to buy or sell a home? Join the crowd that's moving with Rachel and the Rachel Witt team at RE/MAX. With over 14 years of experience, Rachel is an expert and will guide you every step of the way. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to upgrade, Rachel Witt makes the home buying experience fun again. Interested in building instead of buying? She can help you with that too. Make sure to visit her website, homesalesinst.charles.com. where the MLS listings are updated daily. Or you can call her at 636-720-3836. Tell her Kelly Mano sent you. Join the crowd that's moving with Rachel and the Rachel Witt team at RE/MAX. And start browsing for your dream house now at homesalesinst.charles.com.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Drinking is very bad. Yo, I got a fake ID, though. Yeah. 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 Two-step with me. Two-step with me. One. Here comes the two to the three to the four. Everybody drunk out on the dance floor. Baby girl ass jiggle like she want more. Like she a groupie and I ain't even no tour.
We're not very smart.
No.
We've been sitting here freezing the whole show with a space heater running. And couldn't figure out why. Until we realized that the window was wide open. That might have something to do with it. Did you say, Steph, you can or cannot sleep with white noise?
I can't sleep with fan noise. I don't like fan noise.
So you don't sleep with a fan blowing on you?
No.
Oh. You don't either?
No, it's a must for me.
It's got to be fan on and then one leg in the covers, one leg out.
No, we have a ceiling fan. And so, like, during the summer, I like the ceiling fan on. But I don't like noise of, like, a blade fan, like a electric fan or, like, a space heater. Like, I like the warmth from a space heater, but the blowing, like, noise from it. I mean, it's grating. I don't know why it is. But
yeah.
Most people are like, oh, it's white noise. It's comforting. It's calming. I'm like, no, it's grating for me. I don't know why.
I can't fall asleep in a quiet room.
Oh.
I have to have the TV on or something.
Exactly.
Yep.
No, so I didn't realize what a loud house I grew up in until I became a grown up and had my own house. Because, first of all, Granite City is surrounded by train tracks. You literally can't get out of the city without crossing them. And where I lived, we were right in the middle of like a triangle of train tracks. And then literally one street over was Tri-City Speedway.
Right.
And so every night when I went to bed, it was either the trains or the race cars. And then I had my parents who both snored. And everybody in my house slept with a TV on. And my mom and my brother were sleep eaters. So you'd hear like the microwave at 2 a.m. And, you know, so... When I got married and was trying to, like, be an adult, I'm like, I can't sleep in this silence. And so now I'm like, hallway light on, TV on, you know, fan, one leg in, one leg out. Usually there's a kid in the bed. But I love noise. And then I moved to Hazelwood, which nobody, I guess nobody should have had to tell me because I'm a grown up, but I didn't realize that we were like underneath the airport. And like the first 2 years I lived there, I swore to God, like a plane was going to hit my house because it would just come closer and closer. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it. This is it. Here we go. Now, it's going to land on my house.
Did you have problems hearing the airplanes over the gunshot noise?
Well, you know, to be honest, we didn't start hearing many gunshots in Hazelwood till the last couple of years. But weren't you? No, it was producer Gary that was at the house when we were getting ready to start the show one Sunday. And this was just like a year and a half ago. And our back door is open and the kids are outside. And all of a sudden we hear pow, 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 like three gunshots in a row. And I'm running and grabbing the kids. I'm like, everybody get down. And Gary's like, what? I'm like, lay down on the carpet. And then I shut the door and then it stopped. I think it was a domestic thing. Nobody was killed or anything, but we called the cops, right? Mm-hmm. Yep, we got the calls. So yeah, what's funny is where I live now, I hear gunshots all the time.
Warm
because
Springs.
I must be near an outdoor range or someone. I don't know if you're just allowed to shoot out here.
Well, you're not too far from a huge wildlife preserve.
Okay, that must
be. So there's people hunting.
There's hunters, yeah.
Okay, well, it sounds more like target practice because it's
There's ranges out there too.
Okay, because I hear it during the, because the first time I heard it, I'm like, shit. I moved to stop hearing gunshots.
Well, but plus this is unincorporated out here, so
that's right. Yeah, you can go outside your back door and shoot a gun if you want to.
That's ridiculous.
What's funny is I grew up not even 5 miles from where you live now.
Yeah.
And we have train tracks that I would hear as a kid, and we used to have a small speedway, so I used to have the same noises as a kid going to
sleep. It's awesome, isn't
it? You'd hear the train going through, you'd hear cars going around. Yeah.
Yeah, I still make the kids come in when I hear the gunshots when people are doing like target practice out there. I don't trust whoever's over there.
Right.
I'm like, kids, get inside. They're like, gunshots again.
But mom.
Yeah, honey, come on in. So I have a friend named Laura.
Okay.
You guys met her at Jimmy's 40th birthday, and you'll remember her because she was the only one that night that could actually sing. She was a little blonde, and she sang "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman." And she actually sang it to me.
Ooh.
But so Laura, you know, she's only been my friend for like 4 months, but it feels like I've already known her forever. And okay. I'm learning so many things from her because she grew up. I think she grew up a little higher end than most of us did.
All right.
Because the other day I went to pick her up and I pulled in her driveway and I honked and she came out and she's like, it's not 1995. Who honks anymore in someone's driveway?
Right.
And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, that is so Hoosier. You don't honk anymore.
What?
I didn't. That's what I want to know. Do you not honk anymore?
I mean, I usually text.
Yeah.
Why text when your horn is right in front of you?
Well, what I'll usually do is text, like, depending on how far away it is. Like, if I'm getting off the highway at the light at the exit ramp, I'll be like, getting off the highway. Be there in 5.
Yeah.
That way they know, like, look for me.
Well, and I defended myself. I'm like, I'm not getting up my phone to text you. She's like, you got a kid in the backseat. You just send them up to the door.
Well, yeah, there's that.
No, get out of my neighborhood so my neighbors don't see the big Hoosier in my truck. Because I literally tear. I'm like, you know. And I do that, like, with my kids. If I'm going to pick up one of their friends somewhere, I pull in the driveway and I honk.
Yeah.
I didn't know honking was out of style.
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily out of style. I guess it just get in where you fit in. She wasn't a fan of it.
I still like a good honk.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather if somebody's coming to pick up my kids, I would rather them honk in my driveway rather than text me, because then I got to uproot, find my phone, look at it, and go, okay, Rocky, your buddy's here. And
then,
you know, if I just hear the honk, then I know, get your butt outside.
Well, now everybody knows. You know, if they're coming to your house, just go ahead and honk.
Well, I just want to say, I want to bring back honking. I don't want honking to be frowned upon because...
You mean friendly honking? Because rage honking has never gone away.
No. And
well, and there's also time and place for it, too. I mean, if you're picking up somebody, you know, to go to school or something, and it's like 6 in the morning, don't be sitting in somebody's driveway.
I usually try to play a song, and I actually
everybody plays the same song.
I know the song that I want, because I even Googled it, because I wanted to see if I could get a horn that, like, plays a tune, I wanted it to be ludicrous, like, move, bitch, get out the way. Like, if the horn just went like, monk, 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 wouldn't that be awesome? Somebody should invent horns that...
People have. They're Mexicans.
I mean, we have
go to East LA and listen. Wait for any car to go by. They all play a song.
We have doorbells that play different chimes now. Yeah. So why can't we have a horn that plays Ludacris?
You know what? And I don't know if you've ever been aware of these. Do you know what a whistle tip is?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to show you these things off air sometime. And I may regret it because you may immediately want one for your car, but they are the most annoying things in the world. They've actually been outlawed in some states.
I have to pick up my... I got Thug Life license plates for my minivan, and they're in. I just haven't went to pick them up yet.
Now, when you put Thug Life license plates on your van, are you going to take the eyelashes off?
No. And actually, I'm going to replace the pink bow in the back and make it bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of those like bad adult decisions. It was like 1 in the morning, and I had already taken a melatonin, and I was like, I need to renew my plates. I'm like, I should get personalized ones. And I tried to get OMG Becky, like BKY, right. And I tried it every different combination, wasn't happening. And then at 1 in the morning, I'm like, I should get Thug Life plates. That's really funny. And now I'm
amazed that wasn't taken.
I am too.
I had to get a dash. So it's like THG-LFE. So yeah, so now I got to go pick up these license plates and drive them in the carpool line.
Because that's amazing.
Because I'm really bad at being an adult. You know what else my friend Laura, see, I should have just had her on the show. What she hates. She went on, she's like, mini rant, you know, full advice, here comes a rant. She hates when people call her hun or honey, like in the service industry.
Oh, let's do a whole break on this. I have friends of my parents who they go to dinner with, and I'll join them every once in a while. And the male of the two is like a 70-year-old guy.
Right.
Refers to every waitress as darling.
And I don't think...
grates on me.
Why? What?
Because listen, to me, darling is too familiar of a term for a woman you don't know.
No, it's not. Not when you're that old, you can get away with that crap. How old did you say he was?
He's give or take 70.
You know, and I don't think, and again, maybe it's like a small town thing, because I don't even notice if somebody in the service industry calls me hun. I think that her particular one happened at Starbucks, where she, okay, here's as pet peeve. If you're in customer service, do not call me honey or hun. It's unprofessional. I'm not your honey or your hun. I don't want to spend money with your company when you call me that. It happens everywhere I go.
Oh, so she's flipping it around.
From Starbucks to clothing retailers. Yeah. Customer service managers need to train their people to simply say thank you and you're welcome. Now, I think that using like a pet term like hun would be inappropriate in a business setting where you see people every day.
Yeah.
Like if Kenny the copy guy at your office calls you hun every day.
Making copy.
That's creepy. But if it's if it's the Walgreens checker who's not going to see you again or doesn't have.
Right.
And they call you hun, then it doesn't even faze me.
Yeah. I guess I don't think about it all that much.
Now, but would it be pervy if it was someone younger than you?
Maybe. Also, I mean, it depends on the delivery.
Oh, 100%.
You know, delivery and like who's doing it, you know, the kind of person that's doing it. I mean, maybe it shouldn't, but like it totally does. Like if another, you know, woman or something my age, you know, said that to me or like, thanks, hun, come again, whatever, I wouldn't think anything of it. But if it was an older guy or something, or something I felt was being like peevy about it.
So it has to be, I think for it to be okay, it has to be somebody who is non-threatening to you in a dating way. So
yeah. Or just in general.
Right. So if it was like a guy our age that called us hun, maybe it's a little bit creepy.
Yeah. If he's got some like, you know, creepy eyes or something happening with it, it's like, ooh. Okay,
right. You know? But then, okay, let's get really judgmental here. Let's say it's a guy our age, but he weighs 300 pounds and he has a lazy eye and
I'm sitting right here
and he's got a lazy eye and a lisp and he weighs 300 pounds but he's our age and he's got buck teeth and he calls us hun. Not threatening because
don't worry, I'll just pretend about not
because not that Stephanie and I are, you know, anything to write home again, but that would not be in our threatening area of dating.
Right.
Tell me I'm making sense.
Also no, you're
yeah,
married.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know that, and I'm not currently wearing a wedding ring.
Right. Nor am I.
So, buck teeth, lazy eye man might be trying to hit on me.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, in that case, delivery.
Okay. But if they're older, if you're like older, if you're over the age of 60, you can pretty much call people anything you want.
Well, yeah, because people can chalk it up to like, oh, you know, just being a sweet old guy, whatever. Ha-ha,
it still really weirds me out when my parents' friend does it.
No, I mean,
I don't understand why.
No, I mean, I can understand that. But I mean, at the same time, like, you can go with creepy old guy, too, you know, like, especially if a woman is really like totally against hearing that or doesn't like to be called that, you know, if especially if it's an old guy. Old guys maybe keep doing it because they keep thinking I totally can because I'm old, you know.
Well, and, okay, here's another and even a more offensive example of it. There's another guy in the circle of friends that my dad has who, like, they have like this whole coffee crew, and he will find any reason he can to give any of the women who come around a hug.
Okay, no.
And it's more than just like,
is he
a hug? Like, it's, I'm going to hold you tight because I want to feel you against me hug.
Is he married or
no?
Okay, because people who are old and single, they don't have any affection in their life.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, so, that's touching. I mean, touching is. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm more affectionate than others. Although I did feel.
But like, there is a for real creepy vibe about it when he does it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's not.
Not friendly, like, you know.
No, he's not shy about it. That's not the right
he's
word.
He's not trying to hide his intention.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not just, like, you can tell when someone's just a hugger versus when someone's, like, creepy hugger guy.
Yeah.
And this is for sure creepy hugger guy.
Okay, I mean, I grew up in a very, very affectionate family. Like, I'd, like, bring my boyfriends home from college and have to warn them, like, hey, my Aunt Jamie is going to kiss you on your lips and grab your ass at some point tonight, so just be ready for that.
Right. There's a difference,
yeah.
Right? If it's your boyfriend, you know, and it's a member of your family and they're just being very friendly.
And they're given fair warning.
Yes, exactly. But like, if it's a stranger, you know, like some old guy and you're just getting introduced, or like you're that person's server at a table, you know, and they're like, come over here, sweetie, give me a hug, you know, like,
yeah,
no thanks.
Well, I will say that I got slapped on the butt last week by another man, and I was honored. Because it was at...
Thank you,
and
sir.
And I think Jimmy saw it, and if he didn't see it, he wouldn't care. Because we had a parents versus kids hockey game, okay? And we're all the parents are suited up in hockey gear, and I was the only mom on the team.
Oh.
And so I scored a goal, and when I came off the goal, or off the bench, one of the dads was like, good job, and just whacked me right in the butt. And, you know, of course...
Sports.
Delivery.
I was like, yes! Because girls don't whack each other on the butt like that. I'm like, I totally feel like a hockey player now.
Kelly, next time I'm proud of you, I'll just go ahead and give you a smack on the ass.
Yeah, or, you know what some boys do? They tap each other in the balls.
Oh, yeah. Cardinals. Have you seen the video of the Cardinals doing it? No, it was Cubs. It was the Cubs. I'm sorry.
You guys have to stop that shit. Listen, tapping on the butt is fine. There is no freaking reason on the planet to hit a guy in the scrotum when he scores a goal.
Especially with their scrotum.
Yes. Oh, yes. But, like, me getting a pat on the butt through thick hockey pads with a hockey glove, it made me feel like one of the guys, and everybody got a good laugh at it.
Herm Edwards from
ESPN. Oh, I just saw it. Well, and Stephanie and I know this from shooting weddings. So when we shoot weddings, we have to do photos of the bride and each one of her girls by themselves, and they put their arm on each other and smile. Then we have to go do a picture of the groom and each one of his guys, and every single one of them have to hump each other, lick each other, bend each other over, like they're so uncomfortable just getting a photo together. That
was live on ESPN.
They just start grabbing each other's balls. Stephanie, next time you do a good job preaching the show, I'm just going to honk your left tit.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on. Well, here's the, what they call it? The crotch bump. Crotch bumping.
That's goofy.
Crotch bumping is a thing. I don't understand this.
No, it's not a thing.
They're the Cubs, so.
Look at them going down the line. Bump.
That is a wiener bump line.
Bump.
That's so weird.
Can we put a compilation up at kellymano.com of wiener bumps? Because I think that would be fantastic. Man. So, all right. Speaking of hockey, Cam Jansen is here next. We're going to talk to him, and Haas is going to have an update on our March Madness basketball bracket.
What's it called?
I don't even know.
The sports ball.
I'm in it. All I know is that I am not in last place. So everybody else can suck it. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show. Everybody in the club get
tipsy. The Kelly Mano Show. Sass.
sassy, classy, and a little smartassy. Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
So all of my listeners of the show know that I have a rule anytime I am dealing with professional athletes. And the rule I have is this. The bigger the asshole that they are on the ice or on the field, the nicer they are in real life. And that could not be more true than about my guest, Cam Jansen. Welcome to the Kelly Mano Show. We're so excited to have you. Thanks for coming all the way out here. And I know you're like the Kardashians of St. Louis right now. Like, everybody wants a piece of you.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's why I had to grab you before you got, like, too big time, you know? So tell me about 590, the fan, the line change, the podcast that you're doing for...
it's kind of a funny story, actually. I had a two-year contract extension with the Nottingham Panthers over in England. And about a week before I had to leave, we had a tournament over in France, and ESPN Radio called, and they wanted to set up a meeting for me to, you know, start doing radio with them. So I'm like, oh, whoa. I'm like, okay, because over the past 5-6 years, I'm thinking to myself, like, what the hell am I going to do? I'm not educated. You know what I mean? I know hockey and hockey. Yes, I have a ton of connections in this town, but how do I put this all together? How do I put all these...
A lot of athletes struggle with that after their career.
This is during my career. I'm still thinking about it. It's got to come to an end, okay?
Yeah.
What am I exactly going to do? What's my skill set? And how can I utilize my time here, which I was blessed to play for my hometown team? So how can I utilize this? So anyway, they called me up and they wanted to do an interview. So I had to call Nottingham and be like, look, I got to pursue this real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to try this out. I have to see where it takes me. I really do. So they freak out over there. I was going to be their captain and this and that.
Right.
Like, it's a big deal, but I got to do what I got to do. So they kind of freaked out and kind of panicked because all these season ticket holders over there, you know, bought season tickets and now I'm not coming.
And you're their star.
And they're like, what the hell is this? So they had to kind of think of something. So what they said in the press release was that I retired. And I'm working for the St. Louis Blues.
I
know. So I'm on the radio with ESPN, and all of a sudden I get about 15 text messages like, oh, congratulations on your retirement, which I didn't retire at the time. Listen, I'll retire myself.
Right.
But I guess I understand where they came from with that, because they got to tell the fans something.
Yeah.
If they're like, oh, Cam's got something he's thinking about doing over there, we're like, whoa, what the hell? I just spent so-and-so amount of dollars. Anyway, I'm sitting in there on the radio, and I get all these text messages like, congratulations, Cam. I knew the Blues would hire you, and I'm like, whoa, they didn't. So anyway, they kind of got upset about it, which is completely understandable. They're great. But then, so I worked for ESPN, and then 590 kind of found out, and Connor offered
a
contract.
They recruited you.
Yeah, so it kind of went back and forth.
Hey, Haas, can you do me a favor? Go get Rocky. If I don't let him in here for this interview, he's going to...
He's already half peeing himself outside.
Well, will you tell him just to come on in?
No, hold on.
Because I know he'll have questions. Rocky is my 12-year-old hockey player, which, by the way, Cam Jansen, that's a great hockey name.
You think so?
Yeah. Did you grow up in a family that played hockey?
No, but they played. They're all, my mom and dad were both athletes, and they just loved the Blues. I had no hockey ties in my family at all. Me and my cousin Derek and my brother John were the first ones to really play. But they played. We went to Brentwood High School, and my dad was a quarterback and wrestled and all that stuff. And my uncle Danny was a slot receiver and all that. And just great athletes.
Athlete genes running your body for
100%.
Sure. Hey, Bubba, just sit right down in that chair. And then, Haas, will you let the dog in?
Oh, you sure you want that to happen?
Well, yeah, because then she'll just come lay down and fart.
Have you warned him?
Yes. So she just comes in and she farts.
Yeah, well, in this case I do, I'll blame it on her.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, good. Somebody else needs to.
Yeah, so, okay, first of all, tell me what you were like as a youth hockey player. Were you, like, the all-star stud on every team you were on and everybody just knew you were going to make it?
I thought I did. I crushed guys, man. I was big for my age, not necessarily tall, but I was thick, and I had a lot of piss and vinegar. I mean, a ton of it. And I would control. I thought I dominated pretty good as a kid.
Okay.
I mean, it is what it is. I thought I did, but my physicality aspect of things,
right.
Really. Because my, look, no one, I didn't know the game. I just used my athleticism to score goals, and right. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I just figured things, but I figured out how to hit at a young age because I always played a couple years up with my brother's grade, and I would torture kids. I know I would, but I did that, and you stick out.
Well, Rocky's eyes are lighting up because this is the first year he's going to be a bantam this year, which is the first year they can hit.
Man, that's old though. That's
yes,
tough.
Like, yes,
it's tough. You're going to have to figure it out. It's not just going straight at a guy. It's a skill set, big yeah. time. You can't hit guys awkwardly. A, you're going to hurt them and get a penalty. B, you're going to hurt yourself. The more, I tell you what, all the times I've gotten weird nagging injuries is because of me trying to hit somebody and I kind of go at it. I get a bad angle on them, or I hit them awkwardly, and you hurt yourself that way more. So it's just, you're really going to, but I tell you this, if you learn how to hit consistently in games and you have that skill set, you could add that on to whatever other skill set you have. Say you're a great penalty killer, or say you're just great at blocking shots, or really good defensively, or really good at face-offs. If you know how to hit guys, they're going to mold you into a player one way or the other. Then you're separated from everybody else. People are scared of guys that could hit. They're not not necessarily scared of guys that could beat you up. Because if a guy doesn't want to fight me, he's going to be like, oh, go F yourself, Cam. Like, right. Okay. But if a guy doesn't want to get hit by me, he's got no way of avoiding that.
Yep.
None.
Well, you don't have to fight.
You don't have
to fight.
You're
on the ice.
But you're going to have to take a hit.
Yeah.
Hits
are coming.
Yeah.
So a lot of people I know are, once they get, like Ryan Reeves did not grow up an enforcer. He was assigned that role at one point. So you kind of took on that role your whole life growing up.
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you get in a lot of fights like in high school?
Oh, yeah.
No,
but well, kind of. Not because I was friends with everybody. I never got bullied. I was always trying to be friends with everybody.
Right.
But I'd fight my friends, or I'd fight right. my buddy's friends who would try to, you know, act like a hard ass. I'm like, I'll go, yeah, outside. Let's go outside. I'll go, yeah. And
so you always wanted to be an enforcer.
Oh, God, yeah. That's, always.
Now, as you know, as you're older and like living your regular life, have you ever been just like out at a bar in like a sweatshirt and jeans and somebody who had no idea who you were?
Nah.
And wanted to pick a bar fight with you.
A couple times that happened. I'm nice to everybody. Usually, it's if a drunk guy's annoying the hell out of me, somebody grabs him and gets him out of there. It's not to a point where a guy's annoying me that much. Somebody around in the surrounding area is going to be like, okay, get away from him.
Or
I'll be like, okay, dude, okay, I get it. I get what your point. No, I. That's my nightmare.
We just had Kevin Engel, boxer.
Tingle. Oh, yeah.
I trained with him right down the street.
Love him to death.
And same thing with him. He said if anybody ever tried to like fight him at a bar, like his buddies just squashed it right away. And
listen, I always tell these guys, I go, the real tough dudes know they're tough and don't have to act like it.
The quiet ones are the ones you worry about.
You know who's tough. If you're tough, you don't need to act tough. And if a guy thinks he could beat me up, like, you probably can.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm here for the girls.
Oh, gosh. So, let's see. I don't even know where to start. I've got so many questions for you. I mean, the odds of making it in the NHL alone are so slim that I don't even want to know what the odds are of making it into the NHL and then getting to come and play on your home team. So what was it like when you found out in 2008 that you were going to be on the Blues?
Wow, that was unbelievably incredible. I was having a weird year because I threw my shoulder out at the beginning of the year. It's actually kind of funny. The summer before that, I got a badass boat I had built. You know, I just started making some money. My first real toy besides my house was a cool ass boat I had built down in Doolittle, Missouri, a Shoal Runner with a 383 stroked out engine in it. Anyway,
that's like another language. You're speaking Chinese right now.
Badass little toy you can throw on a river, goes 70 miles an hour. Anyway, I was cruising around with my buddies, and I remember. We're talking hockey. It's about a month and a half to go before training camp. It's one of our last times. We're just on a boat cruise in George Winter Park. I remember I was pretty drunk, and I slipped off the boat a little bit and hit my shoulder.
That's not good when you're a professional athlete.
I shouldn't say this, but anyway, coming into the first fight I had that year, I ripped my shoulder out against Jesse Bullerice. I had to go down to James Andrews down in Birmingham, who does all that.
I had the same. I had full capsule replacement, labral tear, and rotator cuff.
I mean, I got the scar. Anyway, so my first fight, I was out. You know, 4 or 5 months. So they brought in Aaron Ashe from the Devils and da da da. So I remember getting bagged one day, getting skated in practice, trying to get back in the lineup, da da da. And Lou Lamoriello calls me up to the office and my phone's blowing up 100 miles. I mean, they're just boom, 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 text messages. And Lou goes, hey, Cam, you know, I got something, a deal for you here. You know, I think this would be great for you.
Is that your agent?
No, this is the GM of the Devils.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, I traded to your hometown. And I'm like, really? I got so excited.
There was no rumblings before. You didn't have an idea. It was just out of nowhere.
I knew nothing. I was 23 years old. I knew nothing about anything at the time. I just wanted to get in the lineup, and I was kind of losing my mind. It's been so damn long. And he tells me I got traded to my hometown team. And I was so excited to where I had to be like, whoa, Cam, hey, calm your ass down. These right. guys drafted you. These guys had you. You just played 2.5 years in the NHL. He brought you up here. Don't act like you that excited about leading. Although I was because of the fact I wasn't playing, not because I didn't like anything. And it was because of my hometown. And I'm thinking right. of all of my buddies. And
they're all going to be in the stands. They're going to think I'm so freaking cool. But then did they start like... people you didn't even know are hitting you up for tickets all the time.
That.
And
you end up with 25 cousins you never knew you had.
I have so many damn cousins in this town. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, who are you? How are we related again? Which is fine. I get it. I like it, having a big family, although it's not true. But
right.
it doesn't matter. Hey, part of the family, right on.
Exactly. You know? Rocky, you want to come over here and use Hoss's microphone? I know you had some questions for Cam.
Yeah.
All right. You got to get up there nice and close, buddy.
Get you another 5 on that jersey instead of that
7. I know, right? He is a huge Ryan Reeves fan.
Oh, yeah. So am I. Trust me.
All right. So what questions do you have for Cam?
Yeah. Like, how hard is it to get into the NHL? Like, what do you have to go through to make it into the NHL and make it up into the big leagues?
Well, that's a...
It's
a loaded question. I mean, a million different things. Put it that way. From my advice to you, honestly... is to find what you're good at. What are you good at on the ice? Are you really good at hitting guys? Are you great at? Are you a great skater? Are you good at penalty killing? Like, what are you good? What's your skill set in hockey? And then take that role. Like, what role would you be? So, say if you played for the Blues right now, which role would you have on the ice? You think
I'll be like a big hitter and like trying to get like into some fights.
Defense.
Are you a defenseman?
Yeah.
So you want to be like a Joel Edmondson, gets the puck out all the time, great in your own zone, mm-hmm. physical, pushes guys out in front of the net, uses your body. So take that and be like, okay, what do I need to do to excel at this role?
Yeah.
Well, you need to work out. You need to get quicker. You need to learn how to. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
And that's
he's training with Kevin as well. Down
yes.
at,
Learn how to punch. Do this. Do everything you can. There's all kinds. You have in the summertime, there's all kinds of different camps. I mean, Jamie Rivers has mm-hmm. stuff. Just get into everything. Get into every watch hockey.
He does.
We're saying, watch how the guys play. Watch how Reaver plays.
Yep.
He gets the puck out every damn time. Or watch how Joe Edmondson plays. He gets the puck out every time. He needs to stick up for Vladdy a little more. But
agreed.
We'll get into that.
Agreed.
I'll tell you what don't do is Joel Edmondson got hit twice in 2 games. He got rocked by somebody that's not very tough. And 2 games in a row, he gets up after getting rocked and he gets a penalty. After twice getting hit, 2 games in a row, he gets up and retaliates and gets a penalty. You cannot do that.
Ref always sees the second guy.
Yes.
Exactly.
Find a way to, if you get hit, I said this on my show the other day, I go, if Joel Edmondson got hit like that, I'd get up, I'd go right at the guy, not punch him, not grab him, turn him around, act like I'm dropping my gloves in front of everybody, like, you ready, and let him skate away, and then be like, what? Yeah, so I call him out in front of everybody. Don't take a penalty, and he didn't do that. You just got to swallow it and call him out and then let him know. You do that again.
Try.
You do that, I'm going to call your ass out again.
I tell Rocky all the time, I'm like, try to get punched in the face. You're wearing a face cage. It's not going to hurt. Right. If you get punched in the face, the other team's going to get a penalty.
And you play physical, do it the right way. People are going to be mad at you, and they're going to cheap shot you. And then you just look at them like, what? Look at the ref, penalty, boom. Then you just drew a penalty. Because of you doing it right, they can't handle it, so they retaliate on you. And you swallow your pride and say, yep, I just drew a penalty for the boys.
So
things like that.
Rocky tries to like talk trash, but I don't let him cuss yet. And so he has to get very creative with the lines that
he uses.
You
need to be creative because there's some witty, witty guys out there.
Yeah.
They'll tear you apart if you try to chirp them.
How old were you when you started a regular gym workout routine? More than just the on-the-ice stuff, like
15,
hitting the weights.
15.
Okay.
Because that's what
really
I was...
Like with Rick Wilson going into the gym, 15 years old, I went in and started with power play. Rick Wilson. At my dad calls, call Rick up. We need to get training. And then I started at 16 with Jesse Finney.
Doing the boxing.
Hockey fight training. I molded into my own little thing with them.
Rocky, what was your other question for Cam?
My second question is, who would win in a fight, you or Ryan Reeves?
Oh, Reaver would kill me. He'd kill me right now.
Do we not have one of the best enforcers in the league?
Yeah, listen, and I say this, and I love Twister, I love Chaser, but Revo, as far as all-around player and toughness, as far as, I know the game has changed, and there's not many tough guys he fights now, But he's the toughest guy in the league.
Yep.
He can play 12 minutes a night.
Yep.
He puts points up. He's very, very good in his own zone.
I don't understand why he's still on the fourth line.
Yeah, well, whose place is he going to take? He's a perfect right. fourth liner. You can't put him anywhere else. He's not quick enough. Look, he's most effective on the fourth line when he's getting things done. And he's giving other players a rest on the top three lines.
Yep.
But he does it perfectly, and he does it better than anybody else in Blues history, in my opinion.
I think...
No offense to Chaser. Look. There's no offense to anybody else, but as far as a consistent look at a tough guy, he's in every single night.
Yep.
He doesn't sit games out.
Nope.
The last 5-6 years that he's played, the team has been incredible. So he's been on an incredible team.
Yeah.
Playing high minutes and doing his job better than anyone, and he doesn't get beat up.
And the game's changed
and he hits.
Since Chaser and Twist were enforcers
yes.
to now.
He had to adapt.
Exactly.
Very I had so. To.
And he did. A lot yes. of players won't do that, no, but Ryan did. Has done he's done everything they've asked him to
he
do.
He does. You're right.
And so, well, we need to go to break here in a second because we're going to come back and play a game with Cam. We're going to play Never Have I Ever, which is a very, very dangerous game to play with Cam. I don't know how this is going to go, but I don't want to leave this conversation without talking about my favorite Cam Jansen moment of all time is when you ran over Carey Price.
Oh, yeah.
If yeah. you have not Googled that, you have to look it up because that was not your fault.
No, he got in my way.
Well, listen, when you're the goalie and you're that far out, and I mean, it was just, what were you thinking in your head as you were getting closer to it? Because he was right in your way.
Well, I was like, I hope he keeps staying there because I'm going to kill him. And I'm probably going to get away with it, although I did get a penalty. I think it was even, no, I did get a
were
penalty.
Were you thinking like, okay, I'm getting ready to bulldoze their goalie.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to bulldoze. Is yeah, this yeah. really going to happen?
Yeah.
Is he really?
I'm like, stay there, buddy.
Is he
stay
really
there.
Standing right in front of me?
I knocked the wind out of myself, which sucked because I was at the end of a shift and I hit him and I knocked the wind out of myself because then he's trying to fight me there. And if I had just a little bit more energy, I would have turned around and whooped them, but I just couldn't get. I was like trying to catch my breath, like
that,
and my face was like bright red, and I'm like, okay, just give me to the box so I can breathe.
Is it like an unwritten rule that you just don't hit the goalie, or yeah, is it one of those where like if you
get
have
my
the
way,
chance,
I don't care. Yeah. Like, look, I don't want to take a penalty. That's the only thing. If a goalie's
it's
there,
a fair
you're,
hit.
If you're able to run him, I would love to, but you're going to take a penalty and you don't do that. But if he's in and he's trying to play the puck that I'm playing, knowing that I'm not going to stop. Then bring it on.
Yeah.
You know?
Think of how many Blue seasons would have changed had we not had goalie injuries.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can see that with a lot
Grant
of
Fuhr, Halak, just on down the line. There's been so many, and yeah, not just us, like so many seasons of promise.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that the other goalies aren't, you know, able to get the job done, but there's just a difference when you know your guy's back there.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Well, look, a goalie could win you a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And when Carey Price comes out of his net that far, that's like you're going into the ocean. You're with Sharks
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
you're in our territory.
Yeah.
You are not safe anymore. You are not
you're in
your
my
crease.
Hood.
You had
yeah.
every right to run his ass over.
Yeah.
And then the complete melee that happened really? Afterwards.
Yeah. No, I know. I love it. Trust me.
If you are a youth hockey player and you have not seen Cam Jansen run over Carey Price, Google it, kids.
Such
you,
a good influence.
You won't regret it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back a little bit more with Cam Jansen on the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show. The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by the Hit Squad in O'Fallon, Missouri, where the Mano family has been training. Some people go to the Hit Squad to become badass MMA fighters, unless you're like me, a chubby mom in her 30s. I just do it for the workout. And I know that MMA sounds really scary, but it's really a family-friendly environment. And the best thing about the Hit Squad, everybody gets to try it for a week for free. My friend Samara just tried it for a week. Signed up her whole family because there's no other workout like boxing. I bet Cam could tell us that because boxing and sprints, nothing makes you pour sweat like that. So if you are interested in getting in shape, if you're interested in learning how to defend yourself or teach your kids how to defend themselves, make sure you check out the Hit Squad at hitsquadofallon.com. Let them know that Kelly Mano sent you.
1, 2, 3, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck. Get fresh. Rock to the beat because we are the best. Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie, hey! Rock to the beat and the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit me with the horns and make that money.
All right, we are going to play our favorite game on the Kelly Mano Show. which is Never Have I Ever. Cam, have you ever heard of this show?
No, I have not.
Heard of
Never
the show?
Never Have I Ever.
Heard of the game. Okay, so we've played it with strippers. Did we play it with our escort friend?
No, we never got around to
we
it.
We didn't get to it. Well, there's too many questions. We had a hooker on the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we do this segment where we interview people with really interesting jobs.
Yeah.
And we had a mortician.
Cam would count.
Yeah. We had a mortician on. We had a gynecologist on. We had... And
different people, by the way.
Yes.
Those two people. Yeah, not the same thing.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like...
What a skill set.
I'm like, we got to get a hooker. Yeah. And what do you know? Haas comes...
I could call a couple of my buddies up and they'll grab a couple for you.
There you go.
Haas comes to me one day. He was dropping something off in the Shop and Save parking lot and he had the biggest smile on his face. And I'm like, what are you so happy about? He goes, I got us a hooker. I'm
nice.
Like, yes! So Never Have I Ever is a game where you draw a card and you say, never have I ever, and you read it out loud. So this one would be, never have I ever driven off with the gas pump attached still to my car. Now, if you've done it, you lay it down in front of you. And if you haven't, you throw it back. And the first person to get 7 cards wins.
Are we playing where you can steal it?
Yes.
Okay.
If we're going to go up to 7 cards, we're going to play that you can steal. So if I read something that I have not done, but you've done it, you can steal it from me.
I got you.
All right? And
I've never done the gas pump thing, but I've seen it happen.
Oh, I've done it. Shit. I did it the other day.
I did it twice.
Oh.
Like, this is so damn embarrassing.
It was one of those things where I saw it. I'm like, no.
Oh, I did it. I filled my tank up, and I come back, and I sit in my car, and I'm talking to some people. And we're talking about my show and this and that. And I'm like, okay, we'll see you later. I'm like,
oh.
And I go back and I got to put a hook it up. And I got to talk to the same people over again. I just got to, I don't know, Jesus.
So before we play the game, I want to remind everybody they can hear Cam every day on the Line Change 590, The Fan, AM. And they also podcast it on InsideSTL.com. So if you've missed any of them, you can go back and listen to them. If you want to find Cam on Twitter, it's CamJansen25. That's 2 S's in Jansen. Mm-hmm. Do you know there's like a famous kids artist with your same name?
Oh, I know. 1 S. It's a girl. Red hair.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I tried to Google you last night. I'm like, what the hell is this?
I know.
All right. So we're going to find out who of the three of us is the shadier of the bunch.
This always goes horribly wrong.
You guys are
wrong.
Shadier than me, then. Wow.
This always
congrats.
Goes horribly wrong for me.
I beat the stripper, remember?
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to start.
That's because you kept getting cards about farting in public.
I know. I got all the fart and poop cards. And okay.
Yeah.
All right, so.
I'll win those, too.
I don't know about that. Never have I ever removed all of my pubic hair. Does that mean waxing or shaving?
I think it just means removing. It doesn't necessitate one or the other.
Okay.
If you've ever gone down to the Bearwood floors, take it.
But not waxing, though.
It doesn't say
okay.
Waxing.
I'm keeping it.
All right.
I was going to say, I'll snag that from you.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I'm going to go ahead and keep this one. Never have I ever woken up in a random parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Keep that.
You can just grab a stack if you want, Cam. That way you don't have to keep reaching for them.
All right. Never have I ever walked in on somebody I didn't know having sex that I didn't know. Yeah, I've done that.
Okay. Set it down.
Welcome
there.
To college.
Yeah, I didn't go to college either.
Oh, in college, on my front porch, and I could not get in my building.
Awesome.
All right. Never have I ever peed in a pool or a hot tub.
Oh, come on.
On the reg.
I mean, come on. Oh, nice.
Sharded. Yep.
Oh, God. 20 minutes ago. Had sex with a coworker.
All your coworkers are dudes.
I know. So, no. No, there, I don't think I have.
No women in the organization?
No.
All right.
Yeah. I mean,
can we go ahead and
we're
say
pretty weird.
Married
we're
that
pretty
person?
Weird, by the way, but I don't think I...
Okay.
Like, slept with, like... Well, yeah, we have roommates and everything. Yeah, I get what it's trying to say.
Are you stealing that one, Kelly?
Oh, no, I was just taking it so we didn't keep it for
oh, okay,
wall
cool.
Of
I'll
shame.
Steal that one.
Oh, wait, but I slept with Jimmy. Damn it.
I was just, that's why okay. I thought you were taking it.
Speaking of which, when you're on the road as a hockey player, do you get to pick your roommates?
No. No, but if you have... You know, if you guys are completely different, you'd be like, hey, can we switch up? Yeah, for sure.
So if there's a trade and, like, your roommate is traded, does the new guy instantly become
well,
your roommate?
Look, everybody has their own room now unless you are a young kid.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it doesn't matter.
Thank God.
Yeah, that about damn time they implemented that.
I'm going to say, this one needs to go to Cam. You can okay. Read that one later. Never have I ever purchased an adult pay-per-view movie on a business trip and tried to expense it.
Oh.
No, that's expensive.
Mm-mm. No, yeah. I got the internet.
Yeah, well, that's true. We don't need those.
Got the internet.
All right, I've got 2. Haas has 3.
No, I've never tried to expense it. I haven't been that brazen.
All right.
Yeah, just why when you have the internet?
Use my cell phone to call someone while taking a dump. Yeah, like, again, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Cam, you're up.
Spit on somebody's face.
All those hockey fights you've been in.
Not purposely.
Spitting on someone is like the most like degrading.
Oh yeah,
I don't think I've done that.
You haven't. Okay.
I spit on somebody
right in the face.
Maliciously? No.
Yep. All right. Put it down.
No. Yeah.
Never have I ever made a kid cry and thought it was funny. Hell yes. There was this, there was this little witch that was mean to Rocky at the St. Louis Mills Mall. Aww. And pushed him out of the little yellow train that he wanted to ride.
Mom or kid?
It was the kid.
Okay.
So I told her she was ugly and her dress, or that she smelled and her dress was ugly. Ooh. And that Rocky didn't want to sit by her anyway. And then, ooh, she started crying. So then me and Rocky had to GTFO.
Yeah.
Before the little kid got off the train and told her mom.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's.
Yeah.
That's satisfying.
I shook down an 8-year-old, too, that was mean to Lucy. I have no qualms. Yeah,
nope,
none.
Nope. When it comes to their kids.
Yes. Huh?
Never have I ever totaled a car. Yeah, actually.
Totaled.
Oh, yeah. I rolled my, when I was in college, I fell asleep behind the wheel and rolled my car 7 times.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Like when we got out with no injuries.
Man.
Like my door came off, put the steering wheel through the dashboard. I'll bring pictures sometime.
Jimmy fell asleep with the wheel, yeah.
When the ambulance showed up, they expected to take the passenger out in critical condition and the driver out in a body bag, and that neither of the EMTs would believe that my buddy and I were the guys from the car.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't even fit in a body bag.
I know. No.
They would have to get like
a... I'm surprised that car rolled on you.
The worst, the funniest part of the story was is when we finally landed, we landed on our wheels facing like this way with the highway going past
the wrong
us.
Way.
No, not going the wrong way, but like on the shoulder watching cars go by us. And I go, oh, man, and just felt like wet, like a straight line wet on this side of my face. And my buddy goes, it's mud, but in my brain I hear,
it's blood,
and thought that the whole left side of my face was just gone.
Oh, man, I've never but totaled we were fine. A car.
Yeah.
You got lucky.
Very lucky.
You got lucky.
All right.
I had an angel looking over me for sure.
Yep.
Cam's turn.
All right. Sent a nude photo to the wrong person.
Cam,
I didn't do the nude stuff because I was so cautious about it.
I was gonna say you should.
I've
be
sent
very
a
careful.
Lot of stupid things to wrong people, but they're like, "Are you up?" kind of thing.
A booty call.
Yeah, but so no, I don't do the Anthony Weiner ordeal.
Nice.
You shouldn't. Anytime you're famous, you just cannot do that shit.
There's no
period.
Reason for it.
Especially
no.
In today's age, because everybody's getting hacked.
Yes. I don't need to do that. No thanks.
Never have I ever made out with 3 or more people in one night. Yes, and it was only I'm not a whore. It was a spin the bottle.
Wow.
So
I was gonna snag that from you.
Yeah. Well, yours probably wasn't spin the bottle.
No, we didn't do that.
I'm gonna draw a new one because I've already had this card in a previous game.
Okay, give it to Cam.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Shoplifted? No.
Oh. Thank you. Shit,
I was
a klepto.
Well, I mean, yeah. I guess not intentionally, I should say.
I grew up in Granite City. We had nothing to do out there. So we'd pull into Walgreens, and my friends would give me a list. They're like, I need Blistex cherry flavored, Twizzlers.
Oh, you guys are, wow, you guys set it right
oh,
up.
Oh, and
wow.
I'd walk right in. Yes. And
like, you could have that one.
I would steal bras from Kmart because I would go in not wearing a bra, and then I would go in and I'd rip the tags off of it and I'd put the bra on and walk out. So if they caught me, I would stick the tags behind the mirror of the changing room. So they, I like, the, never mind. I should stop because kids are going to learn how to do bad things for me, but I've been a hustler since I was like 12.
Yeah, I accidentally stole a pack of baseball cards when I was 6 and ratted myself out and was like crying back to the, I went back into the store crying like, I took these.
You freaking wuss. If I ever win the lotto, I owe Farm Fresh in Granite City like $2,000. Like they're going to be the first people I write a check to.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Cam, you're up.
Okay, have I ever driven off with the gay? Yeah, I did that. I'm going to grab a couple more of these. All right. Have I ever had sex in a graveyard? Oh, God.
Yikes.
That's gross.
That's gross.
That's asking for someone to haunt you.
Yeah, no, I haven't done that. I stay away from graveyards usually.
Try to. Okay, what are we at? How many? Cam's.
I have 5.
I'm doing bad. I got 1.
Cam's like the innocent one.
I know.
See, I always get the poop ones. Never have I ever had to retrieve something out of shit. Rocky's John Cena doll fell in his poop when he was like 4, and it was a new doll, and I had to take it out. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Damn.
I'm a mom. We retrieve stuff out of poop for a living.
Dated someone strictly because they had money. Not strictly because they had money.
No, it helps, though. It
makes it easier.
Yeah.
Turns a 5 into a 7 real quick.
Yeah, but you don't want to be owned by anybody.
No.
No, absolutely not. It's just not worth it.
Mm-mm.
Make your money yourself. You know.
Correct.
Yeah, that's my... All right. Have you ever changed my mind about sex when I saw the naked person? Oh.
When you saw the person naked.
Yeah.
You like so you've seen somebody naked and went
nope.
Yeah.
How do you even get out of that situation?
I think I hear my mom calling. I gotta go.
Even that or just little things. Oh my god. Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been in some weird situations.
Like you mean like you notice something on a girl that
yeah.
That,
just sometimes something just happens. I'm like oh.
You have a third nipple. I'm out of here.
I stopped liking a guy in high school because of the way his knuckles looked when he wrote. Like, because he was in class with me and I thought he was hot.
I know,
and then
bad.
I saw him write and he looked like.
Was he a lefty like me? Did he have the hook?
No, but yeah, he did like this hook and his knuckles and it grossed me. And then another guy I broke up with because I saw him eat chicken wings. And I was like.
Oh, yeah, you'd break up with me too if yeah, I was slamming chicken wings. Seriously.
So if you, like, you and I think kind of have the same brain.
I get creeped out easily. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sucks. I wish I wasn't like that. But then again, I think about it. I'm like, you know what? I kind of am glad.
That you didn't have sex with that girl when you saw her naked.
Yeah, right. Less about
that. You know what? That poor girl's probably still in therapy today. She's like, Cam Jansen saw me naked.
God, I'm horrible.
Oh, see, I'm going to win with this. I have never ever used clothing to enhance a body part. I'm wearing butt pads.
That's every woman ever.
God dang it. I didn't mean to beat you guys. Here, you guys do a couple more.
All right. Never have I ever broken into someone's house.
Done.
I mean, maliciously, like to rob them, or like just because someone lost their. We've done it when my buddy lost his key.
Oh no!
Does that count?
No.
I used to break into my friend Noah Gonerman's house all the time because he had a really cool hamster I like to play with. So I would break in his house in fifth grade. He had this side unlocked window, and I'd play with the hamster, and then I'd go back home.
Yeah, I mean, like me and my buddies would go into their house and steal their parents' cigarettes back in the day or something. Yeah.
Everybody's got cameras now. It's no fun.
Yeah, right. This is before the cameras.
Cam, go ahead and draw another card. And we will call it a day because I've already beaten everybody. I always get the poop ones.
Oh, yep.
Never have I ever held someone down and farted all
the time. Oh, yeah.
I've done that.
Are you an only child?
No, older
okay,
brother.
Then of course you've done that. Everybody
I'm an
does.
Only child and I've done that.
Yeah.
That I guess that's true.
Not to any girls, but to guys only.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to creep everybody out.
Oh, we held my friend down and gave her hickeys when we were juniors in high school.
That's kind of creepy, too.
Yeah, we got in big trouble for that. big trouble for that. So, anyway, Cam Jansen, you're like my brother from another mother. You are the only person I know who has as much energy as I do.
Yeah.
And so thank you for stopping by, because I know you're so freaking busy. But I love hearing you on 590 The Fan. Now, you guys talk about everything.
Yeah,
so, when hockey season goes away, this show's still there, right?
Oh yeah, well we got baseball season coming up and we got
I'm so excited for baseball.
We talk about everything, whatever's going on we talk about.
Yeah,
we got a bunch of different viewpoints on everything, so it's unique and different, and I just
it's
do
a
my thing.
Good combination. And yeah. Do you how's your bracket going? Are you doing March Madness?
Oh my god,
I suck at everything.
How's my bracket? Am
you're not in last place.
Yes!
Very uneventful,
but it was a wasteland yesterday.
It is. The games
holy
are boring
crap.
Too, in my opinion.
I hate basketball, so I picked everything by logo and color.
Well, I've already lost my national champion.
You did?
Yeah, I lost Duke yesterday.
Yeah, I lost. I wanted the Shockers to go all the way.
I think I've got Tar Heels going
all
the way.
You got Tar Heels going all the way. So Tammy K's in first place with 500 points.
Yeah, we've got our own little group thing.
I'm in 13th with 430, and you are in 16th with 410.
Yeah. I'll take it. Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're in 16th with 340.
What is it?
But, here's the thing. Half of our bracket has already lost their champs.
Yeah.
So you've got plenty of room to make up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because
you still got you. You're like, dude, I'm toast. Because my champion's gone. Half of my Final Four is gone.
Yeah.
Half my
Elite
Eight's gone.
Okay.
I'm maxed out.
Well,
I'm
suddenly now I'm excited. So
I just want to beat you. Odds are you're going to.
Yes. All right. So we love you, Cam Jansen. Thank you for stopping by the show. I know you got to go. You got to run and do your other radio show. But yeah, thanks for everything you've done for St. Louis. I'm so excited that you're sticking around and they brought you home. And I fully expect to see you, sitting next to Panger one day up there in the booth. So
I'll be there.
I hope so.
I'll be everywhere.
They better have the sensor button ready.
I'll be everywhere.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week. It's the Kelly Mano Show. Till then, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy. Hoss, anything for the boys.
Stop dealing yourself poop cards.
I know. I swear it's not rigged. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.